I'm Kelly.
And I'm Ray.
This is the Alpes Cast. So today we are going to talk about all of the fun things coming up now that spring is, well, hopefully spring is here after our snow yesterday. The first thing that I wanted to say was there's a reason we have to wait to start spraying. I even got a call this morning. When are you coming? And I was like, it snowed yesterday. We have to make sure it's not going to go below freezing for consecutive days. And we also have to make sure that it's not going to snow anymore before we can start and make sure that the application is going to work for your property. But on top of that, we get behind because if it rains, we can't spray. If the wind is above 12 miles per hour, we cannot spray. So to be patient, we're going to get to everyone. So as if you're not with us and you're with a different pest control company, just know they're all trying their best to get to you. But every single day that it rains or the wind is above that 12 mile per hour, we can't spray. And it's to ensure that the product works on your homes. And that's why we wait.
Yeah. Yeah. Being upstate New York and in our area, it can, like you just said, snow one day and then be 60 degrees the next day.
Yeah, I think tomorrow's going to be like 70.
Yeah. And then it could snow again next week. But it's not just confusing for us. It's also confusing for all of the bugs that are either already in your home or trying to get into people's homes. And that's a lot of what we're getting calls for now, is people freaking out because basically everything, either things got in last year and they're now just waking up for the warm weather and getting ready to do their thing in springtime, or they're still waking up on the exterior of the house and then we get some snow and they're trying to, or they're, it's raining and they're getting flooded out and they're needing higher ground, dry ground, warmer temperatures. So they're going to try to get inside. It doesn't necessarily mean if you see a couple things inside that your house is full of them or that
it's
there's
an infestation.
Yeah, that you have an infestation. It just means that they're confused and they're just trying to figure out what they're doing for the warmer temperatures too.
Yeah, just like all of us, they're testing it out, see what's going on.
Yeah.
So let's talk about the pests that people are going to start to see. I would like to talk about a couple of the different types of ants, because the calls for ants have already been out of control. And so I think it's going to be one of the worst seasons that we've ever seen. So I think how to identify which ones you're dealing with and go more into depth about property damage with them, because already I've gotten a few calls, they're eating my house, and that's not in fact what's happening. So
yeah. Well, when it starts to warm up, there's a couple different things that happen. First of which are the things we probably first start to get phone calls about, are actually things that more than likely got into your house at the end of last year when it first started to get cold. Those things being stink bugs, box elder bugs, which are little longer black and orange looking bugs, ladybugs, flies, all those things. We call them the fall invaders. And basically in nature, they're doing what's called overwintering. So they're, when the temperatures start to drop and it starts to get cold outside, they need to find a place to essentially hibernate for the winter. Their natural cycle is to just survive through the winter. When it starts to warm up in springtime, they would emerge, they mate, and then those adults die off and then the new ones are born. But unfortunately they get in underneath people's siding, into their window frames, their door frames, and that heat from the house does a couple things. I mean, that's what keeps them alive through the winter, but it also will trick them into thinking that it is springtime, whether it's just a sunny day in the middle of the winter, or if you run your heat very high, whatever it is, that's going to draw them out into the inside of the house. Now, with most of those things, unfortunately, at this point, they're already inside of the structure. They're already in your window frames, door frames. They're in the walls. You know, it's not that we can't help at all, but at that point, it's kind of just doing damage control. You know, we can make it so you don't see them as often, or you're not going to see them alive. But, you know, with a lot of those things, like I said, the fall invaders, those need to be treated for in the fall before it starts to get cold.
Well, and with that, too, we're not going to come out in it, treat or do damage control for if you're seeing, you know, 5 to 10, 15. We're talking about when there's, you know, 30, 40 in one area and the homeowner is completely invaded with them in their dining room, their kitchen, their bedroom. But if, you know, it's a couple, I really urge people to just be patient. Wait, they're going to leave on their own.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's hard to tell someone who's freaking out. So sometimes I'm like, all right, Ray can come take a look. But unless you really have a number of them, you're better off just waiting. Waiting it out. It's a couple weeks and they're going to leave on their own to go mate. So,
yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So, and then what? All right. So, spiders are coming.
Yeah, that's normal. You know, it doesn't change much as far as the interior of your house. They're kind of going to be there year round if you have them, especially in your basements and damper areas. But, the exterior of the house, you're going to start seeing them. You know, cobwebs obviously are a good indicator that there's a spider nearby. But again, most interior areas that are issues are people's garages, their sheds, their basements, the places that tend to be darker, damper.
If you live on the lake, those poor people. The amount of spiders they get, I couldn't do it. So those are usually a monthly treatment. We usually go out monthly for those, because they're between those 30 days, they get inundated with them. It's insane how many they get. And a lot of them get the bigger ones, not just the yellow little sack spiders. They get the nasty, big
dock spiders, yeah, wolf spiders.
No,
those kind of things.
Burn my house down. Done.
Yeah. And if at any point, you know, if you do call and want a spider treatment, any of those interior areas, we include those. You know, if you did want to clear out whatever had built up over the winter in the basement or in the garage, we'll take care of those areas too. Yeah, the spiders, actually, I love telling the people that live on the lakes that a lot of those spiders that are around the water, especially the dock spiders and the longer kind of spindly looking ones, they'll actually use their web almost as a parachute, and because the lake is very windy, and they'll use that to carry them across the water. And that's why they almost always end up on whatever side of your house faces the water. That's going to be the side that the spiders build up on. Yeah, it's just amazing to me always how they adapt and use what they have to maneuver themselves around.
I think that they're cool, and I don't mind looking up information on them or, you know, seeing pictures and things like that. But our one client who gets them in her bedroom every year, they're always on her pillow. Yeah. And just, no, I couldn't. That's one thing I could not deal with. That, no, thank you. I always feel so bad for her.
Yeah. I do it for a living. I'm not a big fan of spiders.
Yeah.
They do a lot of good things for the nature and the life cycle, but yeah, they're nasty.
Yeah. Well, they just look funny. And it's funny, our one tech, her name is Lena. She's the one that does all of the monthly spiders on the lake, and they love her. She does an amazing job. She's really good at it. But her biggest fear is spiders. So she has no problem removing the webs. She does a great job at her job, but she still won't kill and owns her spider in her own house. And yeah, I find that funny.
I think that's why she's so good at it.
Yeah.
Because she hates
them. She hates
them.
All right. And then, so let's talk a little bit about ants, because they've been out of control so far.
Yeah. Basically, the easiest way to say it is there are two types of ants people are going to be seeing this time of year.
For the
most part, there's obviously a lot more, you know, many more types of ants than just the two. But typically residentially the things people are going to deal with, especially in the springtime, are either the really, as people, I like to use the way customers describe them to us, the teeny tiny ants. that a lot of times you'll end up getting in either a kitchen or a bathroom. Some people refer to them as sugar ants. Most of the time, not, you know, a guarantee, but 90% of the time, those are pavement ants. You know, and what I like to tell people is they're the, when you're walking down the sidewalk and you see the little piles of sand pushed up all over the place, those are ants. That's the sort of pavement ant is. And they, you know, typically are going to nest in between the cracks of sidewalks, in brick or masonry work, concrete, areas like that. But in the spring, especially once everything is melting, and maybe we'll get some rain, they are essentially being flooded out of where they're naturally going to habitate. So they go to the closest available thing, which tends to be your foundation, or inside of the home, places we will find them, you know, backsplashes in your kitchen. Anywhere there's tile or grout, any kind, if people that live on have like a concrete pad that their house is on, or if you have a commercial property that's on a concrete pad, they have these ants all the time. You know, then once they get into the interior of the home, they don't need a ton of space to make a nest. I was at a house this morning that had, they had nested in the window frame of the kitchen directly above her sink. So, I mean, she literally had hundreds of these tiny ants all over her kitchen counters. And it's sad because she felt like it made her feel dirty, or it made her feel like she was doing something wrong. She said, I keep a clean home. I don't have small children. We're not dirty.
That's,
I don't understand.
Like every single time we get an aunt call, that's usually I have young kids. So yeah, they leave crumbs around, and I'm like, we have four. We get
right.
It. Or they're like, my house is super clean. And yes, food will help, like, is going to help you see more of them, because once they find that food source, of course they're going to it. And then they, you know, leave out that pheromone trail of, hey, look, I found it. But it doesn't have anything to do with that. Once they're there.
Yeah. No, them finding the crumbs around, you know, the kitchen floor, that's all secondary. That's not right. Why they're in the house. They didn't come in because they know you have little kids that leave food all over the place. You know, they're there because where they naturally want to be isn't available right now with how wet everything is outside. So, don't let it make you feel bad about the way you keep your home. It's really got nothing to do with that. The other type of ants that people are going to be seeing, especially as the sun starts to hit the house and temperatures warm up, are the larger black ants, that, again, not always, but 90% of the time, those are carpenter ants. People freak out when they hear carpenter ants. I think we've said freak out like six times already. people don't like it when they see carpenter ants. Everyone associates carpenter ants with termites. They think, like you said before, they think if they have carpenter ants, that means the ants are eating their house and they're just waiting for the house to fall down around them. Not the case. The major difference, I think I might have gone over this in one of the other episodes, major difference being termites actually feed on wood. It's their food source. They, you know, if termites start in your home, they're just going to keep going and not stop until they're treated or until the house does fall down around you. But luckily, in upstate New York, it is very, very, very rare for anyone to have termites. If you called a company for an inspection and they did successfully sell you a termite service, I would absolutely get a second opinion.
Yeah.
They in the 13 years I've been doing this, I've actually seen termites one time in one instance. And in that instance, the building materials were shipped up here from a southern state. I believe it was North Carolina. But it's very rare that we get those here. So carpenter ants, on the other side of that, carpenter ants, they do not eat wood. They do not ingest the wood. They only nest in it. So they want wood that is compromised in some kind of way, whether it's water damaged, dry rotted. Those are pretty much the two instances, but they will not, I mean, they are capable of it, but they don't nest in healthy wood. So I always tell people if there is an upside to having carpenter ants at your house, they're kind of at least pointing out an area where there's an issue. I see it a lot in window frames, door frames. Those typically are the first things to incur water damage. But where different roof lines meet on the house, if you have a garage where the garage roof line intersects with the second floor of your house, a lot of times one of the first things you can look for is just staining or a discoloration of the wood along that line. But also moss a lot of times will grow, or mold. Same thing with your window frames and door frames. If the joints in your window frame, you see it's a darker color, or essentially moss or algae looking stuff kind of growing in the corners of the window frames, whether that's on the interior or exterior, that stuff doesn't grow unless there's moisture in there somewhere. Whether they're just really old windows, sometimes, again, I've seen instances where they just maybe weren't installed correctly, or it can be as small of a thing as, there's a 2-inch span on the outside of the window frame that the caulk might have cracked or peeled, or again, wasn't applied correctly. And over the past years, water has slowly been getting in there. Especially this time of year, we're in the middle of April in Syracuse. So like we just said, today it's 55 degrees. Yesterday it was snowing. If you are starting early in the spring, if you're starting to see ants in those larger black ants inside of your house, it typically means they already had a nest going on. A lot of times I would say is started the previous fall or summer. It's almost always going to be in an exterior wall. So once the temperatures drop, they assume their natural process, which is to just shut down for the winter usually. So then again, once things start warming up, you'll see one or two at first. And, once we're into the summertime and things are moving normally, seeing one or two of those ants isn't an alarming thing. Right. Seeing one or two, they probably just made their way in from outside. But, definitely once you start seeing a half a dozen or a dozen of them at a time in a day, a lot of times that means you have a nest somewhere within the house. And if we come for an inspection, which are always free, the window frames, door frames, thresholds, anywhere there's an addition on the house, those are all going to be areas that I will check first. And it's most of the time that's where things are going on.
So when I get a call and I say, okay, are they bigger or smaller? Because if I say carpenter or pavement, they have no idea what I'm talking about for the most, usually. How can, and sometimes I get this a lot as well, oh, I don't know, they're medium. Mm-hmm. How can a homeowner decipher the difference of it, taking small or big out of it? How can they decipher which ant they're dealing with?
A lot of the time it's based on just the color. Carpenter ants can range from a dark brown to black. But most of the time they are black with, you know, once if you're able to actually look at one that's not moving and, you know, actually visually see its the different parts of its body, it will look, I mean, it's not, they're not distinctive lines, but on the back end of the ant towards its butt, they will have basically three lighter colored stripes that kind of go across their body. And no, it's not white painted stripes like a yellow jacket or a wasp or something, but it's noticeable where there's lighter shades across its the back of the ant where and they can move quickly, but comparatively to the smaller pavement ants, those will move a lot faster. Those are typically more of a reddish brown or lighter color. You know, carpenter ants can be anywhere from 1/16 of an inch to 1/4 of an inch long, especially once they start to swarm and grow wings. Then they're sometimes, I've seen them an inch long, whereas the pavement ants, those basically have to be measured in millimeters, not, you know, 1/4 or 1/2 inch. They're, if you've got the wrong color countertop, you may not even see them at first. Right. That's the worst, is if people have like a marble countertop that has any sort of black or discoloration in it, that you almost can't see them sometimes. But generally numbers, the smaller pavement ants, there's typically going to be a lot more of them in one consolidated area. Whereas carpenter ants, we tend to see people more. We'll see, again, a lot of this is for early in the year, springtime. But they'll see one in the dining room and then one in the kitchen and then, you know, kind of spaced out throughout the house, where the smaller pavement ants, you're going to see a correlation where they're kind of following each other or in the same general area all the time.
So we had a client who has had an issue last month, actually. March and in the beginning of April, who just had their siding all redone, but they kept finding carpenter ants. They hired a contractor. They were told that any wood that was damaged would be removed. And they call us and they're like, hey, we still have ants. Call again. And you're like, there's something going on here. And they're like, well, we just had all of this replaced. And you're like, yeah, well, something's not right. So they had finally, I talked to the gentleman for like 45 minutes asking so many questions because something just was, we could tell something was off. And they ended up calling the contractors back to remove the siding. And when that happened, they called us with a report to let us know that the contractors had sided over all of the rotten wood instead of replacing it. Like they were told that that was going to happen. One, that makes me very angry. But this goes back to what we talked about with the bed bug episode. You need to be aware. If you're hiring people to do a job, just saying, okay, I'm glad you're here, do it, is probably not the best idea. You really need to watch everyone and make sure that you're getting what you could. We weren't adamant to keep saying something's not right here, something's not right here, they would have still had the rotten wood all over their house. And it was bad. The pictures were, I mean, they sent me a video of the contractor picking up a piece of wood and it was literally falling apart in his hands with hundreds of ants in it. So I just want to make that point that, you know, if something's going on, we're going to be honest with you. And it's not that we're not like doing our job. We know what we're talking about and we're trying to tell you like, hey, something's not right, because there's a reason why we can't get rid of what's going on right now.
Yeah. Yeah. I apologize to any contractors that just heard that, but I mean, the last thing you want as someone who's working on someone's home is to have the homeowner standing over you, watching everything you're doing.
Yeah.
And you don't necessarily need to do that, but check in every once in a while and make sure they're actually ripping the old plywood out or whatever it is. That's frustrating for me, even when someone's hovering over me. But at the same time, you're giving someone money. You know, you have every right to make sure that they're doing what they say they're doing. I unfortunately have seen a lot of instances where, you know, it caused a lot of headaches, cost a lot of money, and a lot of things later on down the road, because whether it was a friend that was doing the work or a someone who's related to a friend a buddy they know or someone like that, and you just assume that they're gonna do everything they say they are. And like I said, something as simple as the older Italian couple that I was just at a few weeks ago, they had a carpenter ant nest last year in a window, and he, after I treated it and got rid of it, he said he was going to have a friend come to someone he knew to fix the, basically on the exterior, the top edge of the window frame hadn't been caulked originally. So every time it rained, that water was running down the siding and collect into the top of the window frame. So I just had to go. We had to go back again this spring. And, the homeowner himself is in his 80s. He's not climbing up on ladders to check any of it. And I got up there and there was a good 2 or 3 foot span that the person never fixed. So there was still all winter long moisture getting in there. It's unfortunate, but there are a lot of good people out there, but there's also people that take advantage. Yeah.
And after you said that about saying sorry to contractors, I'm waiting now. My cousin Brandon is going to be like, what the heck, Kelly?
Yeah.
He does great work, but
yeah.
But I understand it's annoying, but I also look at it as our homes are our biggest investment. That's what everyone spends the most money on. That's where your family is. And you want to keep it in good condition as long as possible and save yourself the money. So again, not being over the shoulder at every process of it, but checking in, making sure that what you were told is going to be done is getting done is important.
Yeah.
Absolutely. My favorite, stinging insects. And I will repeat this every single time stinging insects come up. We do not kill honeybees. Right. They are my favorite. I love them. And my dream is to have land one day and be able to farm honeybees. But pest control companies, we do not kill honeybees. It's not only illegal, but you just shouldn't. We need them. There are.
Yeah, it's illegal in New York State.
Yes. There is exceptions to that rule. Every time he has to do this, he gets very upset. But things like if they're in a brick, we have a very hard time finding a beekeeper who's going to come and remove them. And if someone has an allergy, there's sometimes no other option.
Right.
But we do everything we can prior to that having to happen. And that's like maybe once a year, if that we have to. But we do not kill them. We love them. And we're going to do one day a full episode all on them and talk about, because they're just so interesting. Yeah. But other stinging insects. So let's talk about what everyone's going to start to see and the difference, like carpenter compared to yellow jackets, bald face hornets, which are awesome as well.
Yeah. Well, I mean, right away, usually the first thing you start to see actually are honeybees. I had a couple of them land on me when I was at a house this morning. And easiest way to tell a honeybee apart is that they're fuzzy looking. They look like a stuffed animal version of a bee. Like if you're close enough again to be able to see it, it's not a few hairs here and there. Their whole body is kind of covered in a layer of hair. And the main reason that you start to see them first is because they will a lot of the times maintain their nest throughout the winter. And it's not, in a lot of cases, it's not just that the you know, the queen is the only one that survives through the winter and then starts the nest up again in the spring. A lot of times, the majority of the nest, the honeybees actually cluster together and produce enough heat that they can keep the whole colony alive. So yeah, those are the first thing you're going to see kind of flying around or around the home. But very soon, again, usually once the temperatures are consistently getting above, you know, 55, 60 degrees, you'll start to see the wasps and yellow jackets. Easiest way to think about those are that if you are out having a cookout or a barbecue, they're the ones that are buzzing around the soda cans or the trash can. You know, so yellow jackets, I guess, are what we not deal with the most or see the most, because there's a lot more wasp nests in general than yellow jacket nests. But yellow jackets are the ones that give people the most problems. They make the largest, other than honeybees, as far as the aggressive ones that you have to worry about, they make the largest nests. So if someone says that they have ground bees or a nest that's in a hole in the ground, those are yellow jackets. If there's a nest or an instance where you're seeing them disappear into a hole in your siding or in the foundation, that's almost always yellow jackets. They very rarely nest out in the open. They do sometimes. They'll have a nest in a tree or on the side of a house, but for the most part, they're opportunists. They try to find a vacant space somewhere and try to have a lot of the work done for them already. They'll, you know, whether it's a mole den or mouse chipmunk den, they'll take up those holes that are in the ground. Again, they'll, you know, get in the spaces in between your foundation and this vacant spaces behind your siding. Yeah, the wasps are the little paper nests that you see all around, you know, around your eaves and your roof line around the house. It can be anywhere from, you know, as small as a nickel or a quarter and as big as a dinner plate sometimes. Again, what normal people would call, you can visibly see the honeycomb. It's not a honeycomb. They do not produce honey. Those are just, you know, basically the nest itself is open, and you can, what you're seeing are the individual cells where the larvae are matured into their juvenile stage. So those can be problematic, but they're not nearly as aggressive as yellow jackets. Wasp nests, usually you've got to disturb them, you know. So I've seen people open like the exterior outlets that have the weatherproof covers on them, and there's one underneath that. Or you open your grill for the first time in June to cook out back, and they've nested underneath the cover of that. Honestly, a lot of those instances, if you're willing to, a lot of people can take care of those on their own. You know, a can of wasp and hornet spray from any hardware store will take care of that. If you don't want to, we will. But in most cases, you can do that on your own.
For wasps,
right. Yes. The yellow jacket nests are what people typically think of when they think of a quote-unquote beehive, which, mind you, they're not bees. They do not, again, they don't make honey or pollinate. They do a little bit of pollinating, but not like the honeybees. If you're brave and and you're feeling up for it, you can try to take care of some of those on your own. If you can actually, again, if you can visibly see the nest itself, and see the gray paper nest material, and you want to go ahead and try it. But
I know we've said this too before as well, but if you cannot see the nest, right, and they are, yeah, going in somewhere, don't even try.
Yeah,
you're going to make the situation worse, I promise. house.
Yeah. If it's on your house, if it has anything to do with the structure of your house, do not spray them. If you just see them disappearing into a hole in your siding, don't caulk the hole shut. Don't fill it with spray foam. Don't, no matter what the internet says, don't wait till midnight and fill it up with wasp and hornet spray. It's, again, like she said, going to make it worse. They are going to want to go in the opposite direction of anything you try to do, and you're going to wake up with a living room or basement filled with them. I go to a couple hundred of those a year, kind of, usually.
It's space hornets.
Yeah.
They're amazing.
Well, what I was just going to say, though, is a lot of the actual nests, it's going to be a little bit before you start to see those.
Yeah, we have a few more months.
Yeah. And we'll get calls all the time where people say they're outside cleaning up the yard in the spring and they will see a yellow jacket or a wasp that it's kind of traveling along your roof line, and it'll disappear into your soffit for a second, come back out, and he'll move over and he'll go in again and come back out and move over and go. They're foraging, they're hunting, they eat other insects. If they actually have established a nest somewhere, I tell people a lot, it's going to look like JFK airport traffic. It's just consistently in and out, in and out, in and out of the same area. You're going to see multiple of them in a 30-second period. It's not just one that is kind of wandering around.
Right.
The bald-faced hornets, white-faced hornets, they are by far the coolest looking of the stinging insects, but they are also the most aggressive by far. Those nests are pretty much always going to be exposed. They're a lot of the time in a tree, hanging from a tree branch or a bush. They can be just kind of stuck to the side of the house, almost always going to be up high, and they try to pick somewhere dry, so it'll be under an overhang or right in the corner of your siding. Don't
even try.
Just don't try. I mean, you can. If you're feeling brave, if you want to wait till midnight and go out there with a couple cans of wasp and hornet spray, go right ahead. But I've seen the biggest white-faced hornet's nest I've ever seen was one of these sections of this table.
Yeah.
From top to bottom was about 4.5-5 feet tall and probably 3 feet wide. I do not know how these people went the whole summer without noticing it, but they didn't. In that instance, if you try to go at that thing with a can of wasp and hornet spray, there's thousands of them in there.
Yeah, they're coming.
And these ones get large. A white-faced hornet fully grown can be an inch and a half long. They're big around, and the worst part about them is they 99% of the time they go directly for your face, where a yellow jacket or something like that, they just anywhere they can get you or anywhere they can get to your body, they're gonna sting you there, whereas the white-faced hornets actually are trying to get to your eyes to make it so that whatever, they don't know what we are, obviously, but animals, whatever they want to immobilize you as much as possible. So, when I'm treating those nests, they're literally just bouncing off my head from all directions.
And those are the ones, you've had a couple instances where they were able to get through the beef suit, right?
Those are the European hornets.
Okay.
They are terrifying.
I went to that one job with you and
they look like hummingbirds flying around. They are very rare. It's not something that most people will ever have to deal with. Every instance I've ever come into contact with them, they had nested in rotten wood. So like a rotten door frame, one was in an old rotten apple tree that they had hollowed out. Another was in a wood pile that had been sitting there for 10 years, and the wood was all nasty and waterlogged. But yeah, those guys, they're about 2 inches long, as big around as a roll of dimes or almost nickel size. And they sound like little drones flying around. To be fair, though, to their credit, they're not actually as aggressive as like white face hornets or yellow jackets.
Right. But for you, you're going right up to them. So that makes a little unhappy. But
And they're like she was saying, their stinger is actually long enough to sting through most beekeeper suits or you know, the suits that we wear to treat those nests. So luckily they've never gotten me. But I've seen there's a couple guys on YouTube that do it just to see what the experience is like, and I've seen them get stung.
That's
by
brave.
Them.
That's brave. No, thank you.
But yeah, hopefully you never have to see or worry about European hornets.
So when the stinging insect season is really in full bloom and we're getting calls a lot, my favorite ones are, well, you sprayed my house and I'm still seeing stinging insects when I'm outside by the pool, or they're all over my yard. And we explain this in the beginning, but sometimes, you know, people aren't really listening and just want to get off the phone. We cannot prevent them from being in your yard. We can't prevent them from flying from your neighbor's yard over when you open in a soda and have watermelon outside.
Right.
And, you know, like, and those are the calls that get kind of the most frustrating, because it's not that we don't want to help you. Our job is to protect your structures and make sure that nothing can build on those structures or get into those structures. But nature has to still happen.
Yeah.
You know, another fun and fascinating thing is, let's talk about the pool situation.
Yeah,
we get a lot of calls each year where two houses down they have a pool and they have no nest on their property, but they keep getting stinging insects. So you want to talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, they're like anything else, any other living thing on the planet, they need water. Most of these instances that you're talking about, whether it's, you know, you go out in your backyard at 8 or 9 a.m. and you look around and there's bees just kind of hovering all over the top of the grass, they are literally collecting the morning dew off of the grass as their water source. The pool situation, I have seen. I'm sure people have seen it in their own lives, but, you know, I've seen instances where I've actually made homeowners sit down and watch with me for a minute. And if you just kind of hover your eyes over the middle of the pool, you will see them coming from all directions, landing. A lot of times they're going to land on, the outer edge, like the walkway around the pool, because that's easier for them. The water's splashing up onto the concrete and they'll just sit next to it and collect it from there. The main thing they're doing is getting water, and that's it.
Yeah.
But yes, if you're the only house on your street that has a pool, there's a good chance that when you're sitting outside, there's going to be some stinging insects flying around and in the general area. Kind of like I was saying before, you know, the big definitive point as far as there being a nest somewhere is consistent flight paths, consistent activity going to the same spot over and over, or coming from that same spot. But yeah, you know, as soon as you go outside with anything in your hand, whether it's food or a drink, especially anything that has artificial flavoring or sugar or syrups in it, it's like a neon buffet sign to them.
Yeah. So what was your favorite nest removal and why? What was going on?
Oh, boy.
Yeah, think for a second. Threw you on the spot.
I don't know. most memorable or favorite, because I don't know if any of them are my favorite, but
memorable is funny.
Yeah, the ones I remember are obviously the biggest, the really big ones. Okay, so they called, said they knew they had yellow jackets in their soffit. From the exterior of the house, you could see them again consistently going in and out of the same corner of the soffit. And this was when I was early on, the first few years I was doing this, but I went and tried to treat them the way I normally do, that works in 90% of situations. They called back a day or two later, said they were still seeing it. So by the third visit, is when I figured out that they had a crawl space that went directly above that soffit. And so I went into the crawl space and turned my flashlight on. And I mean, a beach ball isn't big enough, bigger than a beach ball. It took up this entire, you know, maybe I had to crawl through on my stomach. So it wasn't a huge crawl space, but it took up the entire circumference of this crawl space. So I just turned the flashlight off and slowly backed out. But it was August and, you know, it's basically an attic space. So once I got inside, I had my full bee suit on, which back then the only suits we had, the only reason they worked is because they were woven so tightly that the bees couldn't sting through it, or the stingers couldn't get through it. But that also means that air does not flow through it. And it's incredibly hot. And we already have to wear long pants and long sleeves for this job anyways. So long pants, long sleeves, then the suit over that. And then I was inside of a crawl space. So it was, it was at least 90 outside. Yeah. So it was probably 100 and something inside of the crawl space. Honestly, that was just the close quarters. I had nowhere to go. I was covered with them. So that one sticks out in my head. The one I was just telling you about that was 5 feet tall, at least.
I hope we get some of those this year. I want a really big one for the office. Yeah. We have a couple of small ones, but I want a huge one.
A huge nest.
Yeah.
If we can take them down and keep them intact, we have a few of them sitting around the office.
Yeah.
The first time I ever saw European hornets, because they are also creepy if you aren't expecting it. I don't know. Why was there one you were thinking of?
I just love when we get the big one, the calls, and like the one that it was rather large and we were able to bring it to the kids' school. That was fun.
That one was weird. That was the crawl space above his garage. And when I went up there, it's just a weird situation. The interior wall, they had built the nest onto that interior wall and it was a perfect circle. It looked like the Death Star, like it looked, or like a globe. And again, that one was about 4 feet wide, maybe 2 feet thick, because that interior wall perfectly bisected the nest. So, and luckily, that one actually was left over from the year before, so it wasn't even active. All I had to do was remove it from the wall. And then, I kind of used a scraper to scrape it off the wall, and you flip it around, and it was like someone just perfectly cut the nest in half, and you could see the inner workings of the whole thing and how they moved through the nest. And it's almost like a layered hotel. Like they will build that first level and fill that with larvae. And once those hatch, they build the next level, and they just level after level. And then they enclose all of that with the paper material. It is very fascinating.
Especially when like you bring them home and then we get to watch the larvae, you know, as it's coming out. It's gross, but cool all at the same time. The kids like it.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is also later in the season, but my favorite calls are when they get inside of people's homes. And one of the first things I'll say, they're like, hey, my wall's really thin. I swear I hear buzzing in there.
Don't touch it.
The first thing out of my mouth, do not touch it. Whatever you do, leave it alone. And they're like, is there a yellow spot? Is that, right. You know, like I go through all of that. Then we tell them, listen, until we can get there. And usually in those circumstances, we really try hard to get there same day. But we say, take a trash bag and go ahead and tape around where the wood is or where the wall is thin or where you see that yellow spot without touching it. And you had pointed out last year, you're like, hey, when you tell people that, can you make sure you tell them not to open the trash bag? Yeah. And I was like, what do you mean? Like, I didn't understand why it would be open. And then I was like, oh, they think if they open it and they do get through, the trash bag's going to catch them.
Yeah.
So I'm really glad that you had said that. So now we say, leave it flat. Do not open it. Like, yeah, not just, putting anything in it.
Use it as a flat sheet of plastic.
Yeah.
No, those are honestly, those are probably my favorite when a lot of times, sometimes it just happens on its own. But most of the time, it's usually the husband that says, you know, oh, we don't need to call a pest control company. I'll take care of it. And they do one of those three things I said earlier, where they either caulk the hole shut. Like, again, this is a situation where from the exterior of the house, you see them disappearing into a hole in your foundation or a hole in your siding. And so, again, they'll read something online. They'll go outside and either try to seal that hole shut with some sort of material, or they will just spray a can of Raid into that hole. Just because they're going in that spot does not mean that the nest is right there on the other side of the hole that's in your siding. A lot of times they're traveling a decent distance. And like I said before, the wasp and hornet spray, unless it can make contact with the nest itself, just pisses them off and it makes them go in the opposite direction. I've seen them chew through drywall. I've seen them chew through the mortar in a concrete foundation.
Now they use that,
they will
though,
find
right?
a way out.
Do they use that material?
Not the drywall material. Right. Yes. Yeah. So okay. Once they get into, say they're above your living room ceiling, you know, I don't know why this one didn't pop in my head earlier, but it happens all the time. They call and they say, hey, I noticed this wet spot on my ceiling. So I touched it and it's really thin and it doesn't feel right. Basically, the nest is on the other side of that spot and they are literally harvesting the plaster out of the drywall and using that to make the paper that they make the nest out of. So essentially it gets to the point where it's literally just that paper layer that's on drywall and maybe a layer of paint and that's it. But again, more than one occasion where the homeowner, you know, and now that I think of it, it's always been women. I don't know why. But it was both the three instances I'm thinking of right now were women. But she was like 80 years old, saw this wet spot in her ceiling, and her solution was to take a broom and hit it. She just wanted to see how soft. I don't know what she was thinking, but she hit the spot in her ceiling, and the entire yellow jacket nest fell through the ceiling into her living room. She ended up being hospitalized. Because she was stung, I don't know how many times. And I've seen people just poke their finger into it, or I had a guy punch it once for no reason. Like, I don't understand. I don't think at the time they necessarily knew that it was a nest or that it was a yellow jacket nest that was up there. But
honestly, unless they're hearing noises, they usually don't. And when they call, they're like, I just don't know what's going on. Like, is it water damage? And you know, we'll go through the spiel with them. But this curiosity, is there going to be water that drips out of here? You know,
right.
I don't know. I don't know if I would do that. I probably would. I would probably hit it and be like, oh, babe, there's a hole in the ceiling and bees inside. Yeah.
I will say, though, if that ever happens to anyone, if you come home from work and there's 40 wasps or yellow jackets inside of your house, open a window.
Yeah.
They'll go outside.
Yeah.
That's where they want to be.
Yeah.
Most of the time, that's the first thing I do when I get to one of these houses that are filled with yellow jackets. You have to take the screen off, but you take off the screen, open the window, and they're going to make their way outside. It's not going to be instant, but, at least part of it is solved. But those are probably the most satisfying, because that's definitely a situation where people wouldn't really have an option to handle it on their own,
right?
Unless we came and took care of it.
Yeah, especially that one in the baby nursery last year. That I felt so bad for them. The nursery was covered, and the poor daughter was in the crib. The mom had to run in, go get her out, and then I was like, just put a towel or something at the bottom of the door. Everything's gonna be okay. Ray will be there in an hour.
Yeah. Nothing. Go ahead.
Now I lost my train.
I was trying to think of the other thing we didn't. Only other sort of these insects that we didn't cover was carpenter bees.
Yes, I love those too.
Yeah. So carpenter bees, like carpenter ants, do not actually eat wood. They just nest in it. However, carpenter bees don't care if the wood is rotten or not. They actually,
right,
a lot of times prefer healthy wood. It's hard to know necessarily what to look for. When they make a nest, they drill a perfect, they don't really drill, they chew it out, but they drill a perfect 3/8 of an inch hole. Every single time it's 3/8 of an inch. You could take a 3/8 drill bit and go check every one of them. It'll fit perfectly. And they are essentially making their nest within that piece of wood. So I'm trying to think of the easiest way to describe it. The most common place I see them are on people's fascia boards. So not everyone has fascia boards. Some people just have a soffit, but then there's that 1-inch thick board that goes across the outer edge of the soffit. Or some people, like especially houses with cedar siding, it's the board that runs diagonally down the edge of the roof line. And there's just like a little 1/2-inch gap behind that board. In that instance, you don't actually see the holes that the carpenter bees are making. But what you will see is this funny yellow stuff that looks like it's dripping down the side of your house, or it's a big cluster of it. It almost looks like miniature bird poop, but it's yellow instead of being white. That's the carpenter bees are going into their nest on the back side of that board. And every time they go in, they poop a little bit. So they're leaving that stuff on the side of your house. I've had so many inspections where I pointed that out to people and they had no idea what it was. They just thought that the paint was warping or changing colors, or they didn't know what was going on. The unfortunate part about carpenter bees is the damage that you can't see. So all you see from the outside is that little 3/8-inch hole and you think, oh, it's not that bad. Maybe it's not that big of a deal. I don't have to worry about it right now. But essentially, they're going into that board only about 1/2 inch, and they make a 90-degree turn, and they make a series of tunnels inside of that board. So they're essentially hollowing out whatever board they're in. And the only time people ever get to see it is when the woodpeckers come afterwards, like later in the summer and the fall. The woodpeckers they want to eat the larva of the carpenter bees. So they just start tearing that board apart from the outside, and people get mad and think they just have a woodpecker issue. But really, most of the time with woodpeckers, it means there's an underlying issue there, unless they just straight up nest in the side of a cedar house or something. That happens. But if they're making a bunch of little random holes all over your siding, they're looking for bugs. It means that there's something back there, whether it's ants, most of the time it's ants, but they also, they definitely go after the carpenter bees and make the damage look a lot worse, but really it was already there.
And when people call about carpenter bees and, or it's this time of year and we're getting ready to do the prevention services, if they have, you know, the Amish came and built an awesome swing set for one of our clients, and it, I had to do some research to find something that would work. Sheds, decks, things like that. If you're really, really worried about it, Outlast MBS 30 is an additive that you put into your stain, and it, the carpenter bees hate it.
Paint or stain. Yeah, you can put it in paint.
Yeah, they absolutely hate it. It really helps keeping them away. Every client that I have recommended get that call back and say, thank you so much, it worked, you know. So that's something you can do on your own as well.
Yeah,
if you're really worried about...
if you're going to refinish the deck or repaint a shed.
Not really,
or,
I mean, probably not feasible if you're doing your house, unless you are painting your house or something that year. But for your deck, your playhouses, your sheds, things like that, it works incredible. It's cheap. It's on Amazon even. I think it's like $30-$40.
Absolutely.
To add.
Yeah. The carpenter bees are funny. There's a decent period during the late spring, early summer. Are we getting close? Mm-hmm. It's a decent period during the late spring, early summer where all the homeowner sees, they'll call us and say, hey, we're sitting on our back deck and there are these big fat bees and they're just kind of hovering around. I don't know what they're doing, but they're just hovering in one spot. That dude that you see hovering around, he's essentially the doorman for that nest. So he's a guard bee. He's literally sitting there checking to make sure that every bee that comes into that nest belongs there and is from that nest, because the different types, so wasps, yellow jackets, hornets, even all the way up to carpenter bees, they all hunt, they eat each other's larvae. So they'll try to, wasps will try to go and sneak into a yellow jacket nest and steal some of their larvae, vice versa. So that, you know, they'll think, oh, it's not that big of a deal. It's just one little bee sitting there, but he is guarding the nest that is destroying the wood that's attached to your house. So if you see that, you'll notice, because once you walk by, that guard bee will usually dive bomb you and and fly towards your head.
And one more thing I want to mention about them is that they don't sting, right? They bite.
Yeah, they can bite. You really got to try hard to get them to the point where they're going to do that to you. Yeah.
Well, we have a bunch in that pergola at our house, and no, I will not let him do anything about it. And I understand what damage that is doing and why you want to do something about it. But I love sitting and watching them, and I sit right underneath. And, you know, once in a while by my head, I'll see the one come out. But for the most part, they leave.
No, yeah. In springtime, when they're forming the nest, you can audibly hear them chewing in there. You can, if you sit and watch, you'll just watch the sawdust slowly fall out of the hole as they're building their little home.
Something got at ours last year, though. I was not happy because I sit outside to watch them.
Yeah.
And something got at them. They were all
the other thing people get confused about is bumblebees and carpenter bees. They look very similar. Biggest difference: carpenter bees are typically up higher on the house. Bumblebees are going to be down lower. Bumblebees almost always nest in the ground. They will nest in a wall or a foundation or something, but they like to be underneath things down low. What I see a lot is they get underneath people's air conditioning units, or their sheds or things like that. But the other big difference is the carpenter bees have a really shiny, the second half of their body looks like almost like a black Christmas ornament. Like, it's very shiny and big, where the bumblebees are just typical black and yellow and kind of fuzzy. But
I think that's it for today, and we'll be back next month.
Sure.